对。Hare Krishna. So thank you so much for inviting us here to this wonderful festive occasion, the installation of Radha Madan Mohan Ji and the flower festival. Everything is absorbed here in Vrindavan consciousness. And the Echo Village also is like a new Vrindavan. And you have another Vrindavan garden here, so everywhere is Vrindavan. The last few days has been wonderful to absorb our consciousness in all these wonderful festivals centered around Krishna and his wonderful pastimes. So we were asked to speak something relating to Sri Dharmayapur and the deities there, the predominating deities. And Panchatattva. The Panchatattva deities, these were the idea, the inspiration came from Srila Prabhupada. And he was talking about the TOVP, or the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium, as we call it. And he said that in this temple, there should be Panchatattva, and they should be life-size. No, he said they should be 7 feet tall. He said because Mahaprabhu was 7 feet tall and made of solid metal. And also you should have Radha Madhava and Astashakti. He gave the dimensions for the deities. And he said also you should have a Guru Parampara altar there, going up to the six Goswamis from Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gokishore Das, right up to the six Goswamis. So, so the idea of the deity was conceived of by the artists and managers there. What position should they be? Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, Advaita. So finally we came to the position they're in now, like it's the dancing pose. This is kirtan is going on, Panchatattva dancing, and so everybody is like dancing. Srivas is also dancing in ecstasy with his palms folded. So so the deities were made in Kumbakarnam. Kumbakarnam in Tamil Nadu, near what's the name of the place? Anyway, Kumbakarnam. I think you know if you're from South India. And these were the largest brass deities, actually the Ashtutattva or Panchadattva, they usually call them, but there's supposed to be eight different types of metal there. So we acquired as much as we could, gold, silver is also there. And mercury is one of the metals, but it's difficult to use mercury because when you put mercury into molten metal, it kind of explodes. It doesn't mix. But so, anyway, there are traces of mercury there. So it is eight metals there, Ashtadatta. And I was there for quite a few times with them. It went on for a few months, this manufacturing of these five very big deities of Panchatattva. And it was kind of It wasn't so sophisticated, the facilities they have for making. We were thinking big industry, you'll have to go to big industry. Actually, we were going to big industries, and those who make propellers for boats, ships and things like that, and who have experience with castings. But any, eventually we went to the local stapatis who make the deities. And the main stapati was Radha Krishna Stapati. Well, his father was there, and he was getting quite old, and he said, "This is the last job I'm going to do, because I'm too old to do anymore." So he said, "I want you to give me some information of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, so I get some meditation and I can get a better feeling of what we're going to produce." So we gave him the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which he read so he could understand something. When he finished the Chaitanya, he left his body. Gauranga. So he was absorbed in Gauranga Mahaprabhu's pastimes. But his son, Radha Krishna Stapati, was very experienced and accomplished. So he was the main stapati there. And so when they're casting these deities, they have big crucibles, and each one, I think, had about 60 kilos or more molten metal. And they do it at night time because it's very hot in the daytime. And and we made the original deities we made in Mayapur from mati, from clay, then made into fiberglass model. So we took the models, fiberglass models, so they could reproduce them with metal. And they make a wax model from that. And then they pack everything with some kind of cement and sand, some big thing that they become like covered in it, like big cocoon, huge cocoon. And it's turned upside down, so their feet are looking up in their head, and they had a hole in the bottom. And then they pour all the liquid metal. First they melt we have a model made of wax. That first they melt the wax out by making all the wax runs out, and it leaves a perfect form inside. So then they pour the molten metals inside that. And once they start, they can't stop, because if it goes hard, then you'll have a cracks in your deity. So it has to be a continuous pouring. So these sapatis, they would have the big tongs, and two of them would hold them, and then they would run to the deity with this boiling metal in there, and run to the deity, and then they would have to tip it, pour it up. Deities were like upside down in the clay cocoon, kind of, with a hole in the where the feet are, and all the metal runs down and runs down to their fingers. They have what they call runners and risers, so the air can go out, and the metal can get evenly spread everywhere. And they're running with this molten metal. They don't even have any shoes on. And they get themselves soaking wet, and wrap a wet cloth around their head, because they have to run with this. And they're running in, and then they pour it in, and the next one coming, and they can't stop. Well, two times actually they dropped it as they was running. When it went, poof, all the metal was coming out and exploding on the ground and everything. And luckily, though, they didn't get any burned or anything like that. But really exciting to watch. And There was two eagles were coming. White eagles were flying over there. And the Stapatis told us this is a very good sign. According to our their tradition. If these two eagles are flying around, white eagles, if they fly around, it means it's a very auspicious happening there. So they like that. And yeah, so then after that they leave for some time until everything cools down, and then they have to unpack and they have to break all the mud and everything off, and because it's like brick, it went like a hard brick, so they broke all that off, and then the deities come out, and then they have to chip away all the pieces of rock and things like that, and first they have hammers and chisels, and then they get down to finer things and scraping and filing, and until you know, then it becomes the brass is uncovered, and then to fine polishing, and then Henry paper to get them nice finish. And so then they come out. It took about a month before each firing, something like that, maybe a little bit less. And then there's all the fine finishing details, and then they start carving the necklaces and bracelets and things like copins and things like that. All the finishing touches. And then they were ready. We were very satisfied. And so then we had to ship them. So that we had big long trucks, those big long trailers, flatbed trucks, and we put the pancetta on them. They were covered with the tarpaulin, and then they began their journey from Kumbakam to Mayapur with all these five deities. And I don't know if you saw the installation, the film of that, installing the panchatattvas. But anyway, Radhanath Maharaj is having an interview there about the installation, and he was saying that in the Chaitanya and Charitamrita it speaks about how the three panchatattva, they came and they danced and they chanted and they gave everybody love of Godhead. And when Krishna came here 5,000 years ago, he bought the storehouse of love of Godhead and he distributed, but only to those who are qualified. But when Gaunitaya and Panchatattva came, they didn't consider qualified or unqualified. They burst open the storehouse of love of God. Krishna distributed a little bit, then he locked it again. But when Panchatattva come, they burst open the doors of this storehouse of love of God and let it get spread all over the world. So he said that today we had a little experience of that, ecstasies of the panchatattva coming and breaking open the storehouses of love of God. Now this practically happened when the deities were made in Kumbakarnam. They were so big, Mahaprabhu's arms were so big, they couldn't get out the door. So they had to break down the door. They're like breaking down the storehouse of love of God. And when they got to Mayapur, they couldn't get in the temple. Again, the doors were too small. So again, they had to come and break the doors down. So this is prophetic. Radha Maharaj was noticing that they broke open the storehouse of love of God. Pankajangri will continue with the experience of Panchatattva's arrival.
We had a reception at the Jogpit, the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Oh, they ran in some arti, some gown, but the deities who came was all covered just with black tarpaulin. It was open track. But there was such a presence there that everyone went down there. The whole, you know, half the community were there. And we're having kirtan, and these drunks were coming out with this covered with black, and the outside people didn't know what was going on, local people didn't know what was going on. But it was such an ecstatic feeling there that, you know, devotees were crying and dancing, and even the local people were crying. Some of the Muslims were crying, looking at it, feeling the atmosphere there, seeing all the devotees. They didn't know what was going on, you know, because they couldn't see the actual deity. You couldn't actually see them. And then they, so they brought them to the temple. We had to have a crane to lift them off and onto the onto a trolley. Like Jinama said, then we had to break the doors so they could get through the main gates. And then we have to hoist them onto the altar. So, all in all, it took about 3 days actually to get them. To get them inside on the altar. I don't know about them. When they go to the TRBP, I don't know what's going to happen here. They was like, you know, in crates and things here, and now they're installed leaders. We have to take them in a dignified way to the new temple. They weigh 3 tons each, so they're quite heavy. And yeah, so everyone was busy doing something. All the children were there. They wouldn't go away. Some of the children wouldn't go away. Their mothers were complaining that my child, and they're not coming home to take their meals. And some of the mothers were bringing the babies and putting them on their feet and getting the blessings. This was before they were installed. But it was so much, given so much mercy that everyone could feel it. It was so nice for some days. And the actual we had the Abhishek, we had different pujas and the asas, installation of the deity. All the GBC were there, the senior sannyasis, everyone were doing that program. Then we had a big Maha Abhishek. There's a video of it. It's a tremendous Abhishek. about 20,000 gallons of substance. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
3,000, 5,000.
A lot of oshadis and fruit juices. It's an amazing feeling. You can see the video. You can see how the devotees are all crying and gasping and really a really extra special installation. We've done a few installations, but that one was really something special for days and days. It was just we putting out so much energy, so much feelings, and. After the Abhishek, then they closed up. Maharaja, there were still some devotees in there, and the sannyasis, and they didn't want to leave. And then the pujaris had to address the deities. Maharaja Radhanath was there, and Bhakti Tirtha Swami was standing there with tears running down their cheeks. And then we had the darshan after the installation was done, the Pran Pratishtha was done. Just like we did this Pran Pratishtha for Radha Madan Mohan. Different Nayas homas and installation, you know, in the deity, installing so many things inside the deity. The Vedas are installed in the deity, the demigods are installed in the deity, the rishis, all kinds of things, going on and on and on. I was one, because it was very elaborate, this one in G. Govardhan Echo Village, that was a very elaborate installation. I was wondering why so many material things are installing in the deity's body, Krishna's body. That's because Krishna says that Vyayatamam Papajante, that however you approach me, I will reciprocate. So everything was in the body, the planets, the devatas, or the presiding deities, they're all there. So wherever you approach the Lord, then that aspect in the Lord, He will answer. So if it's a material, if you're only for a material thing, then that aspect, you know, you have some material desire, some health benefits, the aura Veda is there in one limb of the Lord. So whatever you desire, then Krishna fulfills that desire, but He doesn't have to do it personally. So if it's material desire, then that's done automatically without disturbing. But if it's bhakti, then the Lord Himself directly responds with that. But otherwise, all these other agents and agencies can deal with the other problems. So that's the final thing. After you've enlivened all the senses with the different herbs and fruits, panchagavya, panchamrita, and then the limbs are enlivened and installed with these different energies and different personalities. And then he's dressed, and the last thing is the acharya will call the deity from their own heart. To touch the heart of the deity and meditate on the Lord within their own heart, enter into the heart of the deity. That's the actual prana pratishtha. And then you'll feed the deity nicely, peace, and then you'll open up and offer arati. That's the first darshan. So that was a very wonderful experience. Everyone was ecstatic, and the temple was packed. It was like here, you couldn't get everyone in, you have to have a queue system going round. So they needed a new temple. But the reason why we put them in that temporary situation, Jayapataka Maharaj's idea, because Srila Prabhupada's Chidananda said, he asked specifically, he gave us all the dimensions for the deities, how they should look. But nothing was happening. The new temple was being put on hold, being put on hold, being put on hold. So His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj thought, if we bring the Panchatattva, big Panchatattva, then it will give some impetus on it to that we can actually, we need a new temple because it's like a shed. So that's why we bought them early. So that we could get the new temple finished. And that was a similar situation with Radha Madhava, similar idea for Radha Madhava. Do you want to tell that story?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell how Radha Madhava came?
Okay. Yeah, anyway, there was during that installation, It was, you know Hari's stories, Prabhu? Wrote Prabhupada's diary. He's got a little daughter, she's about that big. What's her name?
Sitala.
Sitala. Yeah, she has a daughter. Hari's stories. Little girl about this big.
That's his wife. Huh? That's his wife. Rasarani.
Rasarani. Little girl. Only this big. But when she was there, she was she was with everyone, with the deities and people, because they were polishing final. Anybody could come and polish and things like that. Final polish. And she was there all the time. She went back home at the end of the night and she said, "Mummy, I've experienced something I've never ever experienced before in my life. That feeling And she was only this little kid like that. But it was like everybody was just feeling that presence of Panchatattva. It was like Panchatattva says, you know, you've heard about our glories, you're chanting our glories, you're hearing about our glories. Now, here is that. Now you can feel us. Here we are, you can feel us manifesting their presence so strongly there. For about three or four days, it was on and off. So they made they announced their welcome, made themselves known with their presence and physical forms also. Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki Jai. So we have in Mayapur Dham Shri Shri Radha Madhava and Ashtashakhi. Some of the history that we have the small deity Radha Madhava, about 18 inches high, in front of the big Radha Madhava. And small Gauranga is there, Mayapur Chandra. So Prabhupada, he gave the directions. He said Krishna can be 5'10", and Radharani is 5'8½". Krishna should be black color, and Radharani should be white stone. And anyway, in 1970 or 71, Prabhupada did his first tour of India with his Western disciples. You can see on the Hare Krishna film that when they were in Surat, you can see how excited it was. So many garlands. Anyway, it was a big success. Prabhupada and brought mostly American disciples because America was more developed at that time. When Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, one Mr. Dalmia, a life member, he gave Prabhupada three sets of deities. So one set Prabhupada sent to Boston, and the other set he sent to Berkeley, and the other set he kept with him for his tour with his Western disciples, tour of India. So they became the deities that were heading up the tour. And when Prabhupada was in Gorakhpur and he was chanting this song that we chant every day, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. He was chanting that in front of the deities who didn't have a name at that time. And then he went into an ecstasy, internal ecstasy. You can read this in the ISKCON songbook in the translation, Jai Radha Madhava. And that's it. Prabhupada just, nothing's happening, it's internal, and everybody is just a pin drop silence waiting what's going to happen. And then after some time Prabhupada came external and he said, this is such a nice song, Radha Madhava. He said everything is here, Radha Madhava, Jamuna, Govardhan, Yashoda. And then he said this is a picture of Vrindavan. This is such a nice song. And we like to think that was the actual installation of Radha Madhava when Prabhupada was chanting that song. Previously they didn't have a name, but they became known as Radha Madhava. So that tradition is going on today before every Bhagavatam class all around the world. Chant this song, Jai Radha Madhava. So they travelled around in it, then they came back. When they got to Calcutta, Prabhupada said, now these deities should stay here. They shouldn't go move anymore. Then in 1972, we had our first International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the Gopurnima Festival in Sri Dhammayapur Ki Jai. It was a big success. And we bought Radha Madhava from Calcutta temple to Mayapur, and they presided over the program. We had a panel, big program. Prabhupada invited all of his god brothers. They all came. And Prabhupada at that time, he laid the foundation stone for the TOVP, the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium. At that time, Prabhupada personally climbed down the hole. He was like a little boy. I remember he was giving some direction. Some other devotees were down there, and one of his godbrothers. And then he decided to go down. There was a little old bamboo rickety ladder. And Prabhupada, but he was like a little elf, you know, a little boy. He's so nimble, and he just jumped. He seemed to be down there. And so he personally laid the foundation for that TOVP project there. And so everybody was leaving after the festival program had finished. And Prabhupada said, "Where is Radha Madhava?" And they said, "Well, we put them in the trunk. We're going to take them back to Calcutta." And Prabhupada said, "No. Now they are here, they should stay here. They should not leave." "Where will they stay, Prabhupada?" "So where the devotees are staying." I said, "Well, we only have this bhajan kutir. If you've been there, Mayapur, you have seen." That was the only building there at that time, straw bichli and straw roof and chetai, the bamboo chetai wall. That was it. There was only that temporary, what is known as the bhajan kutir, Prabhupada's bhajan kutir. But that was, they said the devotees are staying there. Prabhupada said, "Okay, Radha Madhava can stay there also. And then we'll build them a nice temple later." So they were there for that first year, living in the bhajan kutir. It was just a little table with a cloth over it. That was it. That was the. And Prabhupada was living there. He had his quarters a bit sectioned off, and his secretary had a little section off, and the devotees were living in the other half of the bhajan kutir. Now, in 1972, it must be in the middle of 1972. Prabhupada was given donated some land in Hyderabad, and Prabhupada wanted to build a temple there. So we had a big program there, but there were no deities. I think maybe only two temples, ISKCON temples in India at that time. I think Bombay and Calcutta were the only temples that had deities. So Prabhupada used to have these big programs, big panels and kirtan and things like that. So they said, "There's no deities here. There were some small deities of Radha Gopinath in Calcutta, about 6 inches. They said, "But nobody would be able to see them, you know, big panels and things like that." So the devotees said, "We'll take Radha Madhava from Mayapur, because they're quite a good size and people can see and we can..." So they went there and they presided over the festival in Hyderabad. And then when Prabhupada came to attend the festival, and he's taken darshan, he said, "Who are the deities here?" "Is it Radha Madhava, Srila Prabhupada?" He said, "From Mayapur?" "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." "I told you not to, those deities should stay there. Why did you bring them? Now when they go back, they should not leave again." This is all historical. Because we were hearing from Indradyumna Swami when he was giving his class here a few days ago. He was talking about Jayadeva Goswami and he was a pundit for King Lakshman Sen. This was like 300 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. So King Lakshman Sen was living there in Mayapur. Jayadeva Goswami was there on the banks of the Balaldighi. The place is still there in Sridhar Mayapur. he was the pundit for King Lakshman Sen, the court pundit. And he wrote something 300 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. how here in this transcendental place a city will spring and an astonishing temple will rise here and the predominating deities, the name of the predominating deities will be known as Sri Sri Radha Madhav Ki Jai. So this is the vision of the Acharyas. We thought it was just convenient. No, they were in Calcutta. We bought to Mayapur. It was convenient. And somehow they just go to the program in Hyderabad. No, Prabhupada had that vision. The vision of the Acharyas. We may not have that vision. But we can follow the Acharya's vision. Is your Radha Madhav Juki?
Then how the big deities came, Radha Madhava, we didn't have the temple was in the lotus building. But still, one devotee member, he came to the our temple in Calcutta. He spoke to Jayapitaka Maharaj, Bhavananda Maharaj there. He said, I had a dream, and this sadhu came to my dream, young sadhu. And he said one time I asked you for some a loan and you gave me, I've come to repay you. So he said, no, I don't won't take money back from a sadhu. If I give you, I'm giving you. That's, he's a businessman. And then the young sadhu said, you don't recognize me? He said, no. And then he changed, transformed into Prabhupada, because he used to live in Borobazar near that. And he said, oh, Swamiji. This was after Srila Prabhupada left the planet. So Srila Prabhupada said, he said, there'll be some little turbulence now I've gone for some time, but after a while it will be peace and nice again. He said, but I want you to do some service. He said, what is that? He said, I want you to help build some temples and establish deities. So he said, what about my family? And the sadhu said, don't worry, I'll take care of your family. And previously, just before that dream, he's devotee of Krishna, so he prayed to Krishna that if I ever get any money, I'll build you a nice temple. And then his luck changed, and he became quite wealthy. So then he asked, when he told his dream, they said, well, look, Prabhupada wanted a new temple in Mayapur, temple of the Vedic planetarium, and he also wanted large deities, Radha Madhava and 8 gopis. So you can, if you would like, you can do that. So he donated for the deities of Sisi Radha Madhava. So that those deities were made in Jaipur, Pandey, Motiwala. And it's very nice deity. The Stapad is, he said, this stone is a very special stone. It's given, when we're cutting, the ding, 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 it's given a wonderful ringing sound, unlike we've heard before. When the deity was finished almost, when it's almost finished, one other person came, Bila, from the Bila family, they wanted a big deity. So he said, we like this. It's exactly what we want. We'll take it. He said, I can't. It's for ISKCON. He said, well, look, we'll give you 1 lakh rupees over the price, which was probably double at that time how much the deities cost. He said, no, I've. He said, then you make another one exactly the same. He said, I can't do that either. So the deity just manifests like that. So finally, when they came to take the deities away, then the director said, just give one more final polish. So he began to polish Krishna. that a white line appeared on his chest. And it went all the way around like a bumming thread. So that's it. And also on his face, there's two lines, white lines started to come up like that. It's like tilak. They go off a little bit, but if you go close to the deity, you may see that. So then they came to the... I forget the year. What year was it? What year?
1980.
They came.
No, it's 78. No, it's
80. 1980. And then they came to Maipo. That time, we had the Lotus Building. The deities were in the Lotus Building, where Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa sign is now. That was the altar, and where that Chaitanya exhibition is, that was the Nut Mandir. We had to change the altar, because it was the low ceiling where the altar was, so we had to move the altar a little bit. But still, they were very big. The chandelier was like here, almost on Krishna's shoulder. It was so big, because it was just a regular building. So then Radha Padan built the temple now, which was annexed to the existing one now. And I think... And then we bought four gopis first with Radha Madhava. And they were installed in 86.
86, wasn't it?
80 something. Six. 84 or something like that. They were when they went to the new temple in that year. And that temple, the altar is very high because of the floods. It floods in Mayapur, it's a delta. So you're wondering how you're going to lift Krishna. Krishna weighs one ton. And you have to move him upright. And you can't get many people because he's not very broad. So how they moved them from the... Across the temple, they put the deities on sacks. And they just slid them like this. And dragged them. So it was really nice. Krishna was going like this. And Radharani was going like this. And the gopis were going like this behind him. Then we'd have to get them onto the altar, because there's two steps, about 1 meter each step. So we don't know. They weigh your town, and you can only get four people to lift. But anyway, the Bhavananda Prabhu was directing. Don't we just roll up your sleeves, lift up, tuck up your dhotis, 1, 2, 3, lift, pop, pop, pop. They looked at you, they went out really easy. Krishna become light as a feather, they said. The next part, they put him up there, they were very surprised. That's a strong man, but they said he went up by himself. You know. So then they were there, and then there's four gopis, two each side. Then I think the next time was it must have been 86. Then another four gopis came, and they were installed that time. I think it was 86. Along with and at that time, the Shingadev temple was also built. The same year, not the same time, but the same year. Then Lord Nrsingadev came. So they're just waiting for their new temple, which will be finished in 2022, we hope, by your kind help. Then, add something? You want to add something? Nrsingadev was also an interesting story. That was the co-director had a dream, because we were attacked by dacoits one time there. Because 30 years ago, 40 years ago, Maipo was a very isolated place. It wasn't like it is now. And so these dacoits came and attacked. About 30 dacoits came in with guns and bombs. And so he thought that we should have a Nrsingadev for protection. We prayed to Nrsingadev to protect us. Sri Prabhupada said, we worship Nrsingadev to protect the mission, Sankirtan mission, and also the spiritual master. We worship to protect our Bhakti Lata beach also. So he thought we should get a Nrsingadev. Nrsingadev came in the dream, very ferocious. So he made a sketch of this deity. Then one devotee took it to Chennai, south, to a very famous sthapati there. He looked at the drawing and he said, yes, this is a bona fide form of the Lord. 8 arms. He's very angry. This is called Stanu Nrsingadev. This is the day Nrsingadev when he first came from the pillar. He said, but we're not going to make this deity. He said, you can have a deity when he's killing Hirashipu, when he has him on his lap. This you can have, but no. He said, but this is a one that came in the dream. This is a formy one. his legs are bent. He's ready to spring on Hiranyakashipu. So he said nobody worships this deity. He said even the heavenly planets they don't worship this deity. He's too angry. So when you go to the deity, you're praying for something, right? Either you should pray, you should ask for something, either material or spiritual. But you know, he said ask some reciprocation of that. But he said this deity. He's only going to reciprocate with one person, Hiranyakashipu. He's focused. He's been harassing his pure devotee Prahlad for so long, and Nrsingadev couldn't tolerate anymore. This time he's just, where is that rascal? He said, so it'd be futile to worship a deity because he's not going to hear anything else. He's not going to hear. So he said, well, this is the form that came. So no, I'll ask my guru. If he gives me permission, I'll do it. Guru was the Shankaracharya, Kanchipuram. He wrote back, don't make this deity. It will not be auspicious. Who wants this deity? He said, for ISKCON. No, never do it. He said, nobody worships this deity. Like, there was one deity like this on the way to Bangalore. There was a temple established like this. It was very opulent. They said, elephant brick crown every day. It was very opulent. Now the place is a ghost town. Is this what they want for their campus? Don't do it. It will not be auspicious for them. It will not be auspicious for you. So the devotee was looking at other sthapatis, but he wasn't satisfied anyway. So he decided to try again. He came back, and surprisingly, that sthapati agreed to make it. He said, my guru came in a dream and told me, go ahead and make that temple. He said, and then later he confirmed by letter that you can make that, you can do this for ISKCON. He said, because the understanding is it's for Navadvip, it's for the Dham. So in the Dham, all of the deities in the Dham, they take on the same mood as the presiding deity of the Dham. So the presiding deity of Navadvip is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his mercy is his compassion, his mercy. So he said, in that case, if you worship him there, he won't be angry, he'll be in that particular mood. So he agreed to make him. He said, it'll take 6 months. So about 4 months later, the devotee went back to see how he's progressing. He said, how's the deity coming on? He said, what deity? He said, Nrsingadev. Oh, he said, I haven't started yet. He said, why not? He said, I didn't find a stone. He said, look, nothing but hills and all around here, so many stones all around. He looked at me like a professor would look at a slow student and said, I'm not making a grinding mortar. I'm making a deity. And it has to be a living stone. The way they can tap the stone in various points and it resonates in such a way they can understand. And also he said, there's some bug that eats across the stone. He said, it'll be a track running through it. And that's confirmation. So finally he found the stone. And then he told he had the stone, and then again a few months later the devotee came. The stone was just there, rectangular, cut into a rough rectangular. And he said, where's the deity? So So the worker said, well, he doesn't do anything. He just comes and he looks at it, but he hasn't stopped it. He's not actually doing anything. He comes here with his chalk. He has a piece of chalk. And he meditates on the form that he wants, that he's envisioned. And sooner or later that form will appear, manifest. Then he'll outline it with the chalk. Then he gets his men to cut it. Then he'll do the finishing work. So, of course, 6 months was about, I don't know, probably a year and a half or something. But eventually the deity was completed. And the devotee was waiting for him to finish that deity. It was on a Friday. So he had a social engagement over the weekend. So he thought, I'll call the devotee on Monday and take it away. But that night there was a big storm. It was pouring of rain. There was thunder, lightning. And he gets a call, your workshop's caught fire. Struck by lightning. So when he gets there, the whole factory, the whole workshop is burnt to ashes. Just Nrsimhadev is standing there and it's smoking ashes. Come and take your deity away. He's burning the whole place down. So they put him on a track with sand. They laid him on a track of sand, covered him. The driver said, it's the first time we've ever taken such a long journey. We didn't pay any taxes in any of the toll gates. We just, as soon as they asked what we got, we showed the deity. They went, go, go, go. Yeah. So then he was installed. It's a few days of installation, a simple one. And ever since that has been, we have no major problems in Singapore. Sing Bhagavan ki jai.
Time? 1:50, almost 1:20. Any question? One question? Two questions? What time we should finish?
2:30. Two thirty. You finish it.
Past tense. Is past time in Singhadev? It's Gaur Purnima festival, and one Mataji, she came from South America, and she said, I want to give some mangoes to Lord Nrsimhadev. I said, you won't get it now, it's wrong season, you have to wait till the summertime. But if you go to Calcutta, you may get some cold storage mangoes. You can. I said, why do you want to offer mangoes? She said, well, I had a dream, and Lord Nrsimhadev appeared in the dream. And we were walking along through the fields. He was holding my hand, and we were just walking and talking. And one time I said, well, how can I serve you? He said, well, I like mangoes. You can get some mangoes. So, anyway, later on, at the end of the festival, Sri Gaur Purnima festival, all the devotees were there, the GBC meetings were going on. Mataji comes with a bag of mangoes. She said, I managed to get the mangoes from Kolkata. You can offer them to Lord Nrsimhadev. So I said to the pujaris, this Mataji, so fortunate, so lucky. Lord Nrsimhadev appeared in her dream, gave her direct instructions, and held her hand. She's so fortunate. And then the Mataji said, there's more to the dream. I didn't tell you everything. There is more. My Guru Maharaj said, you don't say anything. But now I can tell you. That Lord Nrsimhadev said to me,
my pujari is very dear to me, and I'm going to take him back home, back to Godhead, in 1 or 2 days. He said, oh no, don't do that. We like our pujari also, don't send him back. So Lord Nachinkadeva said, okay, I'll take one of your leaders. Because all the leaders were there at that time for GBC meeting. And that day was the disappearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And His Holiness Gaura Govinda Maharaj, he was there in Mayapur attending the GBC meetings. He's in his room and he was giving some Krishna Gauranga Katha in relation to Jagannath and separation. And then he said, oh, I feel a little bit, I should take some rest. Then Lord Nrisimhadev took him back home, back to Godhead. Lord Nrisimhadev Bhagawan ki jai. Hare Krishna.
When the deity came, then the managers called the pujaris, three main pujaris. They said, so who's going to worship Nrisimhadev? And they said, not me, not me, not me. So, Jananamish, you're the head pujaris, I'm worshipping Radha Madhava, small Radha Madhava. The other pujaris, so I'm worshipping Gauranga, that's all we had. So they said, well, that leaves you, me. So I said, I'm not going to do it. He said, why not? I said, I'm too scared. He said, we know why you're scared. I said, because you don't follow the four regular principles. I said, of course I'm following the four regular principles. Then, if you're following the four regular principles, don't worry about it. Here's the key, hurry up, that's your job. But after a couple of days, it was okay. But one boy, a local boy, he was always scared. He said, that deity used to make sounds. I said, it just frightened me. So one night he puts the deity to rest. He said, I was just leaving the temple and he made such a sound. He said, my hairs were standing on end. I looked around, I saw everything was intact, and I locked up, paid my obeisances, begged forgiveness, any offense. He's taking rest. And he wake up in the morning, the bed is rocking. So he thought he was sleeping on a bunk bed, no? Double bed, one up, one down. So he thought it must be the pujari underneath his getting up, take his shower for Mangalarati. Rocking, he opens his eyes and the Nrisimhadev sitting on the end of the bed. He already is scared, now he's really freaking out, you know, he's really panicking. And he tried to get up, and so Nrisimhadev put his hands on his shoulders, but he said, felt like the weight of the whole universe. And he had marks there for a couple of years over there. And so he was panicking, and he couldn't do anything. And Nrisimhadev said, it's okay, be calm, it's okay, don't worry. I've just come to tell you, when you do my service in the temple, you be peaceful. Do it in a peaceful state of mind. There's no need to be afraid. Just be peaceful. Just be calm, peaceful. And also, when you wake me up to Mangalarati, don't turn the spotlight directly in my face. You know? Then the Nrisimhadev disappeared. He jumped up and he was sleeping in the what we call the long building, chakra building. So he's running up and down the veranda. And everyone thought it's haunted by a ghost. No, it's Eddie, what happened? It's So then he ran to the temple and paid his obeisances. Then he came back. He said, everyone was staring at me. I couldn't wonder why. And then I looked down, I realized it wasn't with my daughter. He'll tell you another one.
Yavan Mataji, her name was, Gokulananda's wife, Atmavidya Mataji, from Greece. She was standing in front of Lord Nrisimhadev offering prayers, and she said, Lord Nrisimhadev, I had a problem with my eyes. ever since I was a small girl, if you can kind of remove these obstacles, then I'd be able to serve you more nicely. So she's offering a prayer like that, and then she hears a voice like within. You tell that pujari to give back my eyes. She said, what was that sound? Am I hallucinating or something? And then again the voice came, no, you tell the pujari to give back my eyes. But what had happened, one devotee used to collect semi-precious stones and things like that. He had these cat's eyes.
Tiger light.
Huh?
Tiger light.
Yeah, like tiger, cat's eyes, semi-translucent. And he said, can you offer them to Lord Nrsingadev? And we tried them on Lord Nrsingadev. Very nice. Nice eyes. So, okay. So we kept them on. And anyway, that Mataji was, what shall I do? What shall I do? I don't know what to do. And again, the voice said, you go up to the pujari room, you tell the pujari, give back my eyes. Don't worry about your eyes. So she came up and she saw me. I was in the pujari room. She told me the story, and I said, okay, I consult with the other devotees, because you know lots of people have dreams, and some are pretty crazy dreams. You can't act on every dream. You have pujari nightmares sometimes. Deities, you go in the deity room and they're not there, or they're broken or something like that. So I said, you know, we can't. It was just like a dream. Anyway, we were discussing over a few days of what should we do? Should we change, put the eyes back? And I was sitting and meditating in front of Lord Nrsingadev, and I got kind of an inspiration from him. Like, you know, I'm Ugra Nrsinga, I'm Stana Ugra Nrsinga, I'm the most fearful form, and you give me these big, beautiful, doe-like eyes. Where are my angry eyes? I want my angry eyes back. And, oh, it sounds quite convincing. So we consulted with the authorities. And they said, yeah, it sounds better. He wants his other eyes back. So he got his red eyes back. Angry. Shingadev Bhagavan ki. Hare Krishna.
Okay, one boy came down to Mumbai. Wasn't devoted. I mean, he wanted to be a movie star to come down to Bollywood. Unfortunately, he didn't become a movie star, but he got a job in a tea shop out washing glasses. And but his good luck, that was right outside our Juhu temple. But he said he could never get in the temple. He had to work so hard, morning till night, washing glasses. Anyway, his dream, his bubble burst that he wasn't going to be a movie star. So eventually one day he went in the temple and he was talking to the devotees and they were preaching to him and said, why don't you join? You've got nothing going for you. He said, okay. So he joined there a little while, but they said, actually, because you're from Bengal, Bihar, he said, you can go to Mayapur, join the Bhakta program there. So then he came and joined in Mayapur. And meanwhile, his parents, they're looking all over the place. He's the only son, and he didn't leave any note that he was going. And then one day, some of his relatives come, and they thought that was the boy that had told his parents, we think we saw your son there. He had a shaved head, but it looked like him. He walked like him. We think it's your son. So immediately, they came down to Mayapur. And they're looking everywhere, they couldn't find him. They went to the office and trying to locate him, and they couldn't, there's no trace of him. So at the end of the day, Sunday aarti, after Ramadan, then we have the aarti of Nrsingadev. So Mother was praying to Nrsingadev. Prabhu, last time I came to Mayapur, I was also chanting and dancing with everyone else, but now, as you know, I can't find any pleasure in life anymore. My only son has disappeared. And please, Lord, I'm praying to you, if you could only return my son to me, then I'll also raise my hands and chant, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. While she's praying, her son walked between her and the Nrsingadev and stopped. So they also They were also very, became very enlivened. They took initiation and started Namahat program. Sing Bhagavan Ki.
Hare Krishna. Jagannath Swami ki
jai.
So we were given the temple of Lord Jagannath, the savior of Lord Jagannath, in 1978. The previous owner had no sons, so he said, "Would you like to take over the savior to all the ISKCON devotees?" And at that time, everything was broken down. The temple was broken down, and there was no maintenance, practically no worship was going on. Everything was in a dilapidated condition. So there were no facilities there. So we were saying, well, maybe we should, when we're cooking for Radha Madhava, then we'll make a tiffin, cook a bit extra, make a tiffin, and Pujari will come up on the bicycle and he can make an offering. Until we get some more facility there, at least we'll offer, give him one meal a day, because the local people said he hasn't taken rice in about 1 year, so they were completely neglected. So we thought, well, at least we'll give him some, one offering a day, until we get more facility. But then Jayapataka Maharaj, he said, listen, we haven't, that land is not officially given over, there's still some complications and maybe some. So wait until all the legality is cleared and then we can start worship. So don't do any worship until the legality is finished. It won't be nice for Jagannath if we start and stop. But he didn't know already we had started a couple of days making that offering. He didn't know that. So we said, okay, Maharaj, we won't do any worship until we get the permission. And so then that night, Pujari appeared in the dream and he's Jagannath appeared in the dream for the Pujari and he said,
What did he say? No, Jagannath wasn't there. Jagannath wasn't there. He stopped, Jagannath wasn't there when he went to the temple.
The Pujari had a dream. He went there with his tiffin.
No.
No?
It was a dream. Okay. Yeah. In the dream, he went to the temple. There was no one there, yeah.
In the dream, he went to the temple and there were no deities. He opened the door, there was no deities there. So, Jagannath, where is Jagannath? Jagannath, where is he? Then he saw Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra there running across the fields. Hey, Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, come back, come back. He said, no, we're not going back there. He's not giving us any prasadam. We're going down to Radha Madhava. They got some nice prasadam down there. They're not feeding us here. Jagannath Swami ki.
Okay, we had a devotee was going to take sannyas and he got a Govardhan Shila, which we left. He left at Jagannath temple till he went to preach. And after a couple of days, Jagannath, in a dream, complained to his Pujari that ever since this Govardhan has been here, we've been having a hard time. You see, he takes all the prasadam. Not even prasadam, he said, it doesn't even wait to be offered. He said, as soon as the Pujari brings it in, at that time it's taken. It doesn't even wait till he puts it down. He said, and he takes all the sweets first. And he's very quick. You got to do something about this. So he told his Jayapataka Swami Raj. And he said, you have to make a separate plate for Govardhan. So now he gets his own plate, and there's peace in the house.
No.
Hare Krishna. So we are very thankful to Janmivas Prabhu and Pankaj Bhagavish Prabhu for giving us a glimpse of all the deities in Mayapur. So we would like to thank him from the core of our heart by loudly chanting 3 times.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
So we'll have announcements now, and then after that kirtan, and then prasad. So first of all, we'd like to welcome all the guests and the devotees who have come here for the very first time. तो सबसे पहले हम उन सभी अतिथियों का स्वागत करना चाहेंगे जो कि आज के प्रोग्राम में संडे फीस्ट प्रोग्राम में पहली बार आए हैं. आवर रिसेप्शन इंचार्ज विल बी स्टैंडिंग नियर हनुमान जी विग्रह. ही विल वेलकम यू एंड ही विल ऑल्सो गिव यू महाप्रसाद. एंड इफ यू हैव एनी क्वेश्चन रिगार्डिंग इस्कॉन देन ऑल्सो ही विल आंसर यू. तो हमारे स्वागत अध्यक्ष जो कि हनुमान जी के विग्रह के पास खड़े होंगे वे आपका स्वागत तो करेंगे ही, और इसी के साथ में आपको महाप्रसाद भी देंगे. अगर आपके मन में कोई प्रश्न है तो उसका उत्तर भी देंगे. सो आई रिक्वेस्ट दोज हु हैव कम फॉर द फर्स्ट टाइम काइंडली राइज ऑन देयर प्लेस. तो मैं अनुरोध करूंगा जो कि पहली बार आए हैं आज के प्रोग्राम में कृपया अपने स्थान पर खड़े हो जाएं ताकि हम उनका स्वागत कर सकें. आप भी पहली बार आए हैं. Hare Krishna. So we would like to pray at the lotus feet of Shri Radha Gopinath that let this be an auspicious beginning of your life and that you keep coming and enthuse us with your presence. So hum Shri Radha Gopinath ke charan kamlon mein yahi prarthna karenge ki aaj ka din aapke liye ek shubh mangalmay din nikal rahe aur aap pratyek ravivar aake hame yun hi protsahit kare. To abhi jo kirtan hoga, kirtan ke baad aap Hanuman ji ke vigrah ke paas ja sakte hain. So let us welcome all our guests in our traditional style by loudly chanting 3 times.
Hari Bol, Hari Bol,
Hari Bol. The guest can sit down. So there is only one announcement today. BASE announced 3-day seminar on Garbh Vigyan from Feb 1st to Feb 3rd of 2019. Speaker will be Dr. Sanjeevan Deodhar and Dr. Vaidehi Deodhar. Venue will be Bhaktivedanta Hall, and for more details you can see the notice board. So BASE ki taraf se 3 din ka seminar hai Garbh Vigyan par, jo ki 1 February se 3 February tak hoga. Aur iske liye agar aapko koi bhi adhik jankari chahiye to niche notice board pe aap sampark kar sakte hain. Also on Sunday 3rd Feb, it's very good news. On Sunday 3rd Feb from 4:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. there will be special Harinam Kirtan festival with His Grace Madhav Prabhu, His Grace Gaurvani Prabhu and His Grace Vishwambhar Prabhu at Chopati Temple followed by dinner. So agle Sunday 3 tarikh ko sham ko 4:30 baje se lekar 9:30 baje tak ek special Harinam Kirtan hoga. Aur kirtan जो कीर्तनिया होंगे वो माधव प्रभु हैं, गौरवानी प्रभु है, विश्वांबर प्रभु हैं, और कीर्तन के बाद डीना प्रसाद भी सर्व किया जाएगा. एंड बेस अनाउंसेस भक्ति वैभव कोर्स ऑफ श्रीमद भागवतम कैंटो 1st and 2nd फ्रॉम February 9th सैटरडे 6:30 टू 9 p.m. एंड टीचर विल बी हिज ग्रेस रेवती वल्लभ प्रभु. प्लीज सी नोटिस बोर्ड फॉर मोर डिटेल्स. तो भक्ति वैभव कोर्स है जो कि श्रीमद् भागवतम का स्कंद 1 और 2 के लिए ये एक सेमिनार होगा. कोर्स है ये 9 फरवरी से चालू होगा शाम को 9:30-6:30 के बीच में. और ये जो स्पीकर रहेंगे हिज ग्रेस रेवती वल्लभ प्रभु. और कोई भी और सूचना के लिए आप नीचे नोटिस बोर्ड पे देख सकते हैं. हरे कृष्णा. वी विल हैव कीर्तन नाउ एंड देन प्रसाद.